If you've ever wondered what's an overlooked career skill that we often miss in STEM education, on today's episode, we're going to chat with a couple of people making CAD design skills accessible and easy to understand for children of all ages.
Welcome to the STEM Everyday Podcast. Each episode features educators sharing their practical ideas to put more science, technology, engineering, and math into every classroom every day. For show notes and more information, visit dailystem.com. Here's your host, Chris Woods.
Well, welcome back to the STEM Everyday Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Chris Woods, and so excited to be chatting with Joshua Manley and Jake Sugden. They are the co-creators of CADClass.org. And educators, if you've ever tried designing stuff with your kids, whether you start out designing on paper or in three-dimensional world on a screen, and then trying to take those things to 3D printer, we're going to have so many great ideas today and really hear about some great stuff that they've got going. Welcome to the show today, Josh and Jake.
Thanks so much. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah. And first of all, definitely educators, CADClass.org. You can find all the great information. There's more information in the show notes as well. But if you guys could just tell a little bit about yourselves and how you got into this whole realm of trying to make this stuff accessible for educators and for kids.
Totally. Yeah, I'll start and then Jake, you go after that. So I got into this. I actually was running a science tutoring company in New York City, teaching kids math, science, chemistry, all those kind of things. I know those equations on the back there. I don't know if you can see these or not if you're watching, right? So I got into teaching and really fell in love with the art of teaching. And for some reason, about 3-4 years into that, I just had this desire to make things with my hands. I'd grown up with handy father, handy stepfather, people in my family made stuff. And I just got this burning desire to make stuff. So I actually moved out to Southern California, took a job at a makerspace, ended up running the education department of the makerspace for a number of years. And what became apparent to me over running that was the most important skill, at least from my perspective, for advancing your making career from kind of hobby level to professional level was learning CAD modeling. So that was kind of that's the really quick 30-second synopsis there. Of course, we can go into more. But what about you, Jake?
Just like Josh, just like a lot of people that I'm sure, I've always been kind of a handy person. I've been a maker my entire life, always been taking stuff apart and most of the time putting it back together again. So I got my degree in mechanical engineering. And while I was doing my education, I was also working with Josh. We worked together at Urban Workshop down in Costa Mesa, California. We worked there for about 7 years. And we just ended up teaching almost every single class that we did there, designing it, teaching woodworking tools, welding, metalworking, plastic engineering. And like Josh said, the one thing that kind of joined everything together was CAD. It's certainly something that you learn all the time in engineering school, but it is such a pain to learn. Josh and I both created the kids program that we taught from 9 years up to 17-year-olds, and they would all get really jazzed about woodworking and welding, as everyone does, but the CAD is such a slog, and it is such a pain to learn, and which really sucks, because then if you learn CAD, it's really easy to go into 3D printing or CNC machines or resin printing or really anything. And we're like, okay, we kind of need to take this in our own hands. We need to actually make it fun for once. Yeah, so we kind of started CAD class as a pretty firm stance as, hey, we're going to make CAD that is actually interesting.
Yeah. And I think a lot of educators, you know, they've heard of CAD. They maybe they did some CAD class when they were in high school as an elective, or maybe they did a little bit of it in college, but that computer aided design, CAD, CAD, that's what we're talking about. A lot of educators have experience just using maybe Tinkercad, but talk about maybe some of those levels of what's that beginning stage versus working your way up, learning those CAD skills.
Yeah. I mean, I think I have a funny perspective, and then Jake, I'll pass it to you. But I think the first way that people learn those skills, I think, is by miming. Stand in front of somebody and you've got a three-dimensional idea and you literally hold your hands up and you're like trying to mime the thing. And then you quickly realize you can't communicate that way. The other person has no idea what you're talking about. So the next iteration, I think, is typically drawing on a piece of paper. Mm-hmm. And that's also really bad, at least for me. Some people are excellent drawers. I'm not one of them. So you draw this thing and then it's like, well, okay, now you're about 2% of the way for your idea. And then I think from the education perspective, the next jump is, well, there must be a better way to do this. I've kind of seen and heard about computer-aided design. So one of the places that a lot of folks will start is in the simplest of those, which is kind of in the Tinkercad realm, mm-hmm. where you're starting with 3D objects and really only working in 3D objects, and you can cut and slice, and it makes it quick and easy to start. But what you quickly realize with it is that it's more limiting than you would like.
Yeah.
And so I think the next iteration from that is progressing from the easier automatic three-dimensional shape world to the slightly more complex, or actually quite a bit more complex world of designing things in two dimension, pulling them out in three dimension by extruding objects, and moving on to a software like, you know, Fusion 360 or SolidWorks or Onshape, or, you know, there's a FreeCAD, there's a plethora of these resources. So at least from my perspective, that's kind of the arc of learning there. And some people actually never get beyond the miming arc. And what I like to say when people are learning CAD is what you're really learning is just like learning another language, Spanish, Japanese, right? You're learning the language of three-dimensional communication, and it comes with the same obstacles and hurdles that learning a language comes with. It's tough. You can't communicate in the beginning. You don't know where to go. You don't know what to ask. You don't even know how the right words are put on paper, right? So to me, that's my thought. What about you, Jake?
So it's, to me, it's all about like what levels of difficulty or complexity that you can kind of get from it. I think at the very, very bottom where a lot of people start, Tinkercad, pretty popular. Google SketchUp, I've seen people use just to kind of throw down their ideas where they go, I don't really know how to use these softwares, but I made a box.
Yeah.
And I'm going to use these dimensions to make a woodworking project. It's like, that's great. If that's all you need, that's fantastic. But very, very quickly, people go, oh, I actually do need a little bit more complexity. Yeah. So I would say that's kind of on the lower complexity level. On the much higher level, you've got programs that are used almost exclusively in the engineering profession, things like SolidWorks, CATIA, NX, which is what NASA uses to build rockets and planes. Those really gigantic softwares that are incredibly powerful, but they can cost like 10 grand a year.
So those are not going to be used in school anytime soon, but but learning those basic versions, are those skills are going to transfer up as those kids, and kids are so good at, you know, taking one technology and applying all their previous skills to just figure something out in that next level.
Exactly. And so kind of somewhere in the middle, you've got Fusion 360. As the name implies, it's a fusion of lots of different types of software. So you've got 3D design. You've also got being able to make photorealistic renderings. You can do exploded diagrams, simulation, like, oh, if I bend this pen at a certain amount of torque, will it explode? It's got lots of different parts of the software, but it's that step above the simplistic CAD modeling that's just too simple. Mm-hmm. And it's a step below where most people don't need that complexity. If you're a hobbyist or a small business where you maybe you got a big CNC machine, you have access to a makerspace, and you can actually start to make up your own products, well, you don't need a hugely powerful software that can handle like 100,000 little tiny little bolts and panels to make a plane. It's just not necessary. So Fusion 360 for me is in a really nice little pocket.
Yeah, that's so good to hear, Jake, because a lot of us as educators, we're not in that engineering realm. So just
you don't
hearing
need to be.
Yeah, but to hear some of that, and then we can transfer that onto those kids to say, hey, you're learning these basic skills, and again, those build up. And Josh, I really love what you mentioned about that language aspect, because, you know, sometimes as we're trying to add some of these types of skills into our schools, our classrooms, maybe through elective classes is maybe the furthest that they get, or a teacher that's really passionate about it, trying to build it into their curriculum somehow, there may not be the budget for it. There may not be that time for it because the district just doesn't know about it, or the district doesn't have that access. You know, we've all heard of coding, you know, that's become huge with education, but if we could point it out that, hey, this is just the same as that language acquisition skill, that being able to transfer knowledge from one person to another, that's huge.
Well, and really, Ken, that's a great way to, like, I love that, because that's what CAD is it's the intermediate between the machine and the person. So when you want to go from making a thing on a machine, you need a way to communicate with the machine. And CAD solves that problem. It serves as the intermediary between that communication. And just like computer software, right, that solves the problem of, well, how do machines communicate with humans? It's broader than that, but that's one of the things that it solves, is like, how do machines communicate with humans? In this case, it's how do humans communicate with machines and tell those machines what to do. It's 3D printers, CNCs, lasers, you know, some of these pieces of equipment that are becoming more popular. So definitely. Yeah. And I think I would love to see initiatives at a higher level where of course, computer programming is necessary and it leads to really good jobs, but so product development is coming back. Lego just broke ground on a facility in Virginia. fairly recently. So,
yep, that's
I think it's a good sign that manufacturing is coming back, but it's doing so in ways that are highly automated, heavily machine-based, and the jobs are good. They're not so, if you were a woodworker your whole life, you understand how backbreaking that can be.
It can,
and so these aren't necessarily backbreaking jobs, and CAD specifically isn't backbreaking. You can do it from home. You can do it from anywhere in the world.
Yeah, you just got to make sure you got a good ergonomic chair and don't slouch over the computer and
or a standing desk, which I have.
That's awesome. Now, you've got these 28 great step-by-step CAD projects that educators, kids, anybody can on demand learn how to use Fusion 360 on your cadclass.org site. And they're going to be turned into a book as well that's just releasing here in June 2023. So maybe talk a little bit about all those materials that you've created out of when you were working with students and kids in those makerspace classes.
So basically, when I was first learning CAD a long, long time ago, a lot of the CAD books, a lot of the projects are just fundamentally uninteresting and not really engaging at all.
Sounds like a lot of math story problems, if you ask me.
The math is super intensive. It's that the project isn't interesting or exciting. The first project a lot of people do is they make a pulley. They make a pulley wheel. Then the next thing they'll do, you can take multiple parts and put them together, and now you've made an assembly. Mm-hmm. Oh wow, that's really powerful. We're gonna make a hinge. It's like there's no exciting nature to it. So all of our projects on purpose are kind of built to be that, have that engaging quality. One thing that Josh and I know firsthand from the more physical manufacturing side is that if you're trying to learn a new tool, I want to get into metal lathing or CNC machines or 3D printing or anything like that. If you start off by trying to make a project that you're actually really interested in, then you will then put in that extra effort to make that final product look just that little bit better. And so you'll learn a little bit more. You'll practice for a little bit longer. And so the actual learning process is becoming so much more fruitful. And so we try to incorporate that as much as possible in the rest of the book.
And I'm just looking, if the class that you've got there on your website, a Mobius strip, a surfboard, a Lord of the Rings ring, Lego bricks, gears and footballs and pistons and electric guitars. I mean, these are things that are definitely going to pique some interest in the kids.
Definitely. And there are things also that, for the most part, we've made in real life.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's the other side of it is because we're makers, we wanted to make projects that could actually be made. Mm-hmm. So it's much more exciting to make a skateboard on CNC. We keep saying this word CNC. So CNC, computer numerical control. It's essentially a machine controlled by a computer.
Mm-hmm. So a robot that cuts things.
So we wanted to, we designed some projects to learn the manufacturing side of the workspace inside of Fusion 360. And we wanted to design projects that sounded like fun. So an electric guitar, great. I can imagine jamming on that. And we made the electric guitar and we made the skateboard. And we went through and most of these projects started because we made them. Mm-hmm. And we worked backwards thinking, well, that's a lot of fun. We enjoyed the process of making them. And probably if we enjoyed making it, other people will also enjoy making it.
Yeah. The very last project in the class is making a full-size accurate lightsaber. And this is one that I made years ago. This is my first metal lathe project. It's 3 pounds. It's so, so, so heavy. But it's really accurate. Again, I really wanted to learn how to use a metal lathe. So I made a project that was interesting. And so you learn significantly more because of it.
And you're talking about some machinery, like a CNC machine or a lathe and things like that, that maybe not every school has access to all those types of machinery, but the design process is still the same. The kids are still designing it. They may not be able to, they may have to look a little harder to find that final step to have somewhere. And that could be done by maybe reaching out to bigger makerspace group or some sort of local engineering facility. And that might even be a great connection for those kids to really see, wow, there is so much more that I can do once they've got these skills.
100% agree. And same with 3D printing, right? So 3D printers now are $200 on Amazon for a very good one that we've printed tens of thousands of parts on $200 printers.
Right.
So, the likelihood that you can go out and make it, even if you don't have immediate access, is high. And I love that because one of the reasons we wanted to focus on CAD was as long as you've got a computer powerful enough to run the software, you can learn that anywhere in the world. And that translates exactly to those machines or even not. It can just be a product idea you have, and now you can communicate that idea with another person. So it's whether you make it or not, you can do that anywhere in the world, any classroom in the world, so long as you've got internet and a computer.
Yep. And again, educators can find these projects all on cadclass.org. Of course, there's also links in the show notes as well to find that, and to your Twitter account and to YouTube, where you can see some more videos. But you've got these tutorials. You're turning it into a book, too, that just released.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I'll take some of this, and Jake, you can fill in the gaps. I'm sure I'll miss some. But so we wanted to cover all learning styles. Mm-hmm. So we designed, we had the 28 projects on our website are the same 28 projects in the book. They're both designed to be completed completely independently. You don't have to own the book to do the projects on the website. You don't have to take the class in order for the book to be useful, right? It works both ways. That, in addition to that, in the book, each chapter has a link to a Discord server channel related to specific projects you're working on. So if you're building the surfboard and you get stuck inside of Fusion 360, you pop onto the Discord server in the surfboard channel, and you can go through a list of other folks who may have had some difficulties in doing something that you're struggling with. You can put a screenshot up of the software as you do it. We'll interact with you. The other members of our community will interact with you, and you can get real-time help in a physical book. So the idea was to kind of close this gap between resource and access to that resource, and to say, well, why can't a book be something that you can interact with on demand, something that can act independently from a class? So we sort of have them all covered. And I know I learned best actually with both resources. I learned best having both video and a book tutorial next to me. I kind of like to watch the video first, work through the actual book, and then reference things when I get stuck back in the videos. But we know that a lot of people learn in a lot of different ways, and we didn't want to leave anybody out because it didn't satisfy their learning style.
Right.
Did I miss anything there, Jake?
No, I think you nailed it. So with every single video that we do on our website, we also have all of the projects of the PDFs completely for free. So if you don't have access to any of the videos or the books that we have in paperback and hardcover, you can always get the PDFs completely for free. I imagine quite a lot of your audience, Chris, are teachers. And so if you want to supply your entire class with a project where you make something like a Lego brick or a little geocache hide or really any project that you want, you can just download the PDF, print as many as you want. But just make sure you show us exactly what you make, because we love when our students make just really cool stuff.
Yeah. So that's just awesome to hear, because, you know, I mean, yeah, definitely an educator may not have those resources to be able to get a book for every kid. So if you're getting one, definitely reach out to Josh and Jake through the website, and they'll make sure they figure out a way to help you get access to those PDFs as well.
Yeah, definitely. And one more quick thing is, I think we also do work with teachers who get reimbursed by their districts for continuing education. Mm-hmm. So people recognize the importance of this. I haven't seen anybody get denied yet, unless they don't have the resources inside of their district. But that is absolutely, if you wanted to get all these resources and just have your district pay for it, happy to send you invoices and notes and receipts and whatever else you need. But it's been a pretty easy process for people.
Right. And for a lot of educators too, I mean, the fact that it's an on-demand class, you don't have to wait to, you know, for a particular class to start. It's reasonable. And again, you can check out a free preview right there on the site too, just to kind of see it and say like, wow, okay, this is great. Or maybe this isn't good for me, but hey, I'm going to pass this along to, you know, somebody else in my district who's working with kids on a different level. And it's going to really help out those teachers. So, and just thinking too, I mean, STEM is changing so much, so rapidly, so quickly. You two have both been a part of it from you know, some of that early inception of that makerspace education aspect, and now working with kids and thinking we need to add more focus on CAD. What do you see as these changes in STEM education? What do you hope for some STEM changes in education?
Well, for me, I'm always pushing people to have some kind of tangible connection with their education. Anytime that we're doing projects in school, for a science class, the most fun thing is when you get to break out the Bunsen burners, you get to actually, you know, see the chemistry happening in front of you. Yeah. If you're in a physics class and you get to run the experiment, that's the fun bit. It's so engaging. And so something for me is that I would absolutely love to see every single student have, you know, a small, affordable 3D printer in their house. It's pretty common. A lot of these kids already have laptops or Chromebooks or anything like
that.
Those are absolutely powerful enough to run Fusion 360 or Cura, which is a 3D printing slicing program. Mm-hmm. These Ender 3s that we have running in the back, these are well under $200. Mm-hmm. I found a couple on Craigslist for $100, and I changed out, a nozzle, and then it was working just fine. Yeah. Very, very affordable and gettable as well.
Yeah. And a much better investment for your kids at home than, you know, just buying them an Xbox or something.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And I think it's a really good question. I think it's an important one for education. One of the quotes I heard that I really loved was, education isn't something you get, it's something you take. I think kids have an opportunity to go ahead and take their own education. You don't have to worry about waiting for teachers to teach you things. You don't have to worry about waiting for the resources. And if only you had access, it's like you actually have access to it now. And actually, they know it. I think the people who don't always necessarily know, and I certainly hope I'm not offending anybody here, but the people who don't always know that are the teachers. It's like if a student has the motivation to learn something themselves, the resources to learn it are there. There's absolutely nothing preventing you from doing it. So I think what I'm loving seeing right now is just the empowerment of the individual in their own educational cycle. And so it's like, take control of it, do it. If you're a parent, you don't know how to do this stuff, figure it out. If you're a student and you don't know how to do this stuff, figure it out. You could mow lawns for 2 weeks and make enough money to buy a 3D printer. So if there are excuses, it's like, I don't buy it. I'm not into it. So yeah. I'm very excited to see this. And of course, with the AI and automation stuff coming out, and it's absolutely blowing my mind. I don't want to go into it because everybody's talking about it, but there's a few excuses that you can make for not going ahead and taking control of your own destiny.
Yeah, that's awesome. Great perspectives from both of you, and yeah, definitely echo a lot of those things. I love that education is not something you get, it's something you take. Thanks Josh for sharing that one. So one question I love to ask everybody before we kind of wrap up here, but if you could have somebody be that ultimate STEM person, you could just sit down and have a dinner with Josh and Jake, who would that be?
I'll let you go, Josh.
Yeah, I've got mine. Certainly Richard Feynman.
Yeah.
I loved his book, Surely You're Joking, Mr. Feynman. He was a practical jokester. He was a scientist, and he actually discovered this, reiterates something we said earlier. So he discovered the quantum electrodynamics principle he got burned out in science, decided he was done with it, threw his hands in the air, said, forget this, I quit. It was sitting in a cafeteria one day, somebody throws a plate up in the air, it's spinning and it's wobbling. And he recognizes in that moment, the spin and the wobble is what's happening with electrons. And he still, to this day, described one of the most accurate theories in the history of, science. Yeah. So what I think I got from that is he wasn't doing it because he was trying to learn how it worked. He did it because he was simply curious.
Yeah.
So I would love it to sit down with Richard Feynman and just go, soak it up. Like, what the heck? How did you think? Who are you? What are you all about? Let me just spend a day with you finding out how you keep yourself so creatively engaged.
And if you are having dinner with him, you might want to toss a plate up in the air, I think. So. How about you, Jake?
Mine is very, very personal. I would absolutely love to have dinner with everyone's favorite scientist, Mythbuster Adam Savage.
Yeah.
He is my absolute idol.
Yeah.
We actually have a bunch of secondary friends. We're friends of both of us. But I've never met it, but I've always wanted to. I was a kid watching Mythbusters every single day, just absorbing it. Yeah. When I was in high school, I wanted to be a special effects designer. So I know a weird amount about molding and sculpting and making monster masks and all that kind of stuff. But it kind of pushed me into kind of learning how to manage a workshop and then delving into just any different field of making that I wanted to get my hands on.
Yeah.
Massive person I would want to go to.
Yeah, and educators, if you've got kids that are interested in Adam Savage and all the Mythbusters stuff, definitely have them check out that Tested website. That's Adam's kind of new project and all of his videos and stuff. He makes just some incredible stuff. So again, to get more education, to really reach out and take that learning. So so many great ideas today, and I think a great overview for all of us educators to think about what are some of those next steps that we or our district, our school can take to really bring more CAD and take it beyond what we're already doing for some kids to take it next level. Any other last thoughts, Josh and Jake, as you think about all these different things you've got available and that you're doing?
The last thought is, if you are an educator trying to figure out how to get this started in your classroom, just reach out, send us a note. And these things can be overwhelming. There's a lot of choices, machines. It's very quickly, it's like it sounds nice on the surface, but it can get overwhelming. Mm-hmm. We love to talk to educators, especially people working with the next generation. We know this is the future. We know this will change our course in history. So we love to have those conversations. Reach out, send us a note. We'll talk on the phone, we'll call, whatever, whatever works best, but we'd love to talk.
Yeah, especially if you're wondering, how do I get Fusion 360? I've never even heard of that before. You know, I mean, yeah, I'm sure you guys have all the tricks and ideas. And
well, speaking of that, Fusion 360 is free for 3 years for educators. So again, no expense for the software, no expense for the slicing software that you use to make the model into something printable, a $200 3D printer, you know, spent if you liked some of this content, obviously signing up for our course. The PDF is always free. So, you know, there's the investment that you need to make in this is not huge. So it's probably not as big as you think in money, but it can be heavy in terms of figuring out what exactly, like how exactly do I put these pieces together?
Yeah.
I would say it's definitely, it can be a very heavy investment on your time though. I would say if you just try and learn CAD software or you try and learn any skill, coding especially, and you just go, well, I'm just going to watch a bunch of YouTube videos. You're going to spend maybe 10 times as long as you really need to. So I would say definitely try and find a good source, good resources, good people that can help you out. And I think we definitely fit the bill with that.
Oh, and that, I mean, yeah, like, I guess that's a perfect thing because you learn by doing. You don't learn by passively consuming information and hoping it seeps in. Yeah. So absolutely agree with you. Wanted to second that. Learning CAD is hard. It takes some time to get to know it, which is also the thing that makes it rewarding.
Yeah.
So don't expect that you're going to sign up and magically get all of these concepts in your head. You're going to sit and work through them and struggle at times, but that's why we have links to the Discord. That's why we have you know, links to us. That's why we give you a community and resources. But don't think, definitely don't think you're going to go into this and learn it in a day.
Yeah,
you're going to go into this and learn it over the course of time.
Yeah, we're not Neo. We're not just going to plug in and download everything into us. So, hey, really, really great chatting with both of you today, Jake Sugden and Josh Manley, and just really appreciate the work you're doing, the great resources, the stuff you've got. CADclass.org is the site to get it, and definitely grab a copy of their new book, Mastering Fusion 360. There's 28 projects. You can get them online. You can get them on that book released in June 2023. Really appreciate all the great work you're doing, guys.
Thanks so much. Pleasure to be on.
Cheers.
And again, definitely all these links are in the show notes as well. Educators, check those out and find out more. And again, share those with other educators in your school, in your district, in your community as well. Need to connect with me, head to dailystem.com. As always, I'm always happy to help you as well. And don't forget to subscribe to the STEM Everyday Podcast. Leave a review. It helps more educators to find out about great people like Josh and Jake doing great stuff for our kids to help them to become that next generation doing those amazing jobs and careers that are out there waiting for them right now.